come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the gospel, and help us to apply what we learn into our heart, and help us not to be a hearer of your word only, and help us to put what we learn into practice so that we be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Huh? It's very high already, right? Is it okay now? In order to save people from hell, Paul devoted into 3 chapters, chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11. If you really want to understand the full gospel, and you have to spend time in one setting to read from chapter 9 all the way to chapter 11. You only read chapter 9, you don't go and read chapter 10, you only get partial knowledge. And that's why we cannot bring people to the salvation. I give you a brief bird view and what Paul trying to say. In order to save people from hell, you need to speak the truth. The truth and nothing but the truth. And then you speak the truth in love. When you speak the truth in love, you first of all speak the truth in chapter 9, in love, in Christ, not lie. And secondly, when you speak the truth, you need to prepare yourself to suffer. If you are not willing to suffer, you cannot lead people to Christ. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, after you preach the truth, you speak the truth, you tell the truth, you have to pray to God. You pray so that God will do something, and you pray that the recipient will respond to God's truth in the right manner. When you preach, you have to preach in faith, knowing that if God has chosen him, he will believe. If he wasn't God's choice, he will not believe. And finally, not only the one who preach has to preach in love, the one who hear has to believe that God's loving him. God wants to save his soul. I find out that like Gene just read the Psalm 121. Psalm 121, the emphasis is God's work in salvation. God protect you, God watch over you, God do this, God do that. But this is only the partial truth. You have to respond to it. Okay? So if you cannot put all these bits and pieces together, and then one of these days, you're going to give up on preaching the word of God. You say, oh, I did exactly what God say. It doesn't work. No, it worked. But just that, you only get partial truth. Okay? Now, I will repeat that again when I finish 9 to 11, but I'm now put emphasis on chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. Paul saying that I speak the truth in Christ. We know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And Jesus Christ, right beside in Christ, circle the word in Christ, you write down 9-5. Christ is God over all. So if Christ is God over all, God is love, that means you got to speak the truth in love. When Paul saying to the church, Romans 9:1, when Paul saying to the church of Ephesus, to the saint, and telling the people has to speak the truth, I'm sorry, not 5, it's 4. Chapter 4, verse 15, speak the truth in love. When he tell people to do it, you have to check him out. Did he do it himself? He did it. When he tell other people, speaking the truth in love, he himself speaking the truth in love. Why would he do that? You write that down? Why would he do that? You write 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul say that, follow my example because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Nowadays, a lot of people, they just tell you to do things, but he himself doesn't know how to do it. A lot of supervisors are like that. But somehow they get some kind of connection, they get to that position, but it's not qualified. In order to be a good supervisor, you have to know what you're talking about. You yourself do it first. So the Bible say, Paul say, I speak the truth in Christ. I speak the truth in love. Because Jesus Christ suffered for us speaking the truth. Let's turn to Gospel of John. Chapter 5, when Jesus Christ speaking the truth in love, what is the consequences? Chapter 5, verse 16, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too and working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, how did Jesus break the Sabbath? Breaking the Sabbath by healing the sick, doing the good deed of the Lord the Father. How the Father do it, and the Son Jesus Christ did the same thing. They don't like it, because they're ignorant, they're thinking that Jesus was breaking the Sabbath. They try all the harder to kill Jesus because he not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Right beside making himself equal to God, by doing so, he knows that. He knows that. They're going to try to kill him. I want you to write that down. Chapter 10, right beside, equal with God, 5:18. You write that down. Chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. This is the truth. Brother and sister, sometimes when the preacher know that when he preached the truth, he will be persecuted, then he stopped speaking to you. And this kind of picture, you distance yourself away from him, because otherwise you're going to follow his footstep. Okay? Don't follow this kind of example. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. And Paul followed the example of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul encouraged us to follow me, because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Don't ever think that Jesus was ignorant, not knowing that when he claimed that he is of equal to God the Father, he won't be persecuted. He knew that he would be stoned. That's why, right in chapter 10, after chapter 10, verse 30, what happened? Verse 31, again the Jews pick up stone to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Brother and sister, don't ever think chapter 9, verse 1 is not an important lesson. It is a very, very important lesson. If you are a parent, you better learn God's truth while your children are still young. Otherwise, you're going to regret. You write that down in the first page of your Bible. You, as a parent, if you don't learn God's word when your children were young, when they grow older, when they can make a decision, they're going to turn away from Christ. Yesterday, I received an email from a sister saying to me, appreciate that I sharing the gospel to his son when I was in New York. That son, when he was young, going to the church. But now attending university, he didn't go to the church anymore. He challenged God's word. He challenged God's word. He thinks he's wise, but he doesn't know the Bible. She asked me, what should I do now? When your children were young, they will do exactly what you say. But when they're getting older, they ask you questions about the God's word, and you have been Christian for 10 years, 20 years, and you still don't know God's truth. And God's going to show it to you. He's going to walk away from the faith. And then his child is going to suffer. When he suffers pain, if he was chosen by God, he will come back. If he wasn't chosen by God, he would be lost. Write that down. You have to know the truth. Nothing but the truth. When you speak, you have to speak the truth. Because if you don't speak the truth, only the truth can save people's life. Because Jesus said, according to John 14:10, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, that means through the truth. I want you to take a look at his half-brother James. What did he say? God chose to give you a new birth so that you be born again through the word of God. That is the truth. James 1:18. God the Father chose to give us birth through the word of truth. If you're not telling the truth, you cannot save people's life. You are just wasting time. Okay? You have to tell the truth. You say, what if I tell the half truth? Half truth is not the truth. Half truth is a liar. Half truth is from Satan. The whole truth is from God. So what if you change that? You change the truth. Because you and I know that if you tell the truth, saying that you are of equal to God, just like Jesus said that, and he was stoned. When Paul followed Jesus, he was stoned too. Now you see that Jesus was stoned, Paul was stoned. I say, I'm smarter than Jesus and Paul, and I'm not going to do that. So that's why a lot of Christians, they don't share the gospel. Woe to you if you don't share the gospel. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 to 7. 16 to 17. Paul said, when I preach the gospel, when I tell the truth in love, when I tell the truth in Christ, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. I want you to write that down. Right beside 16:17, you write down the Old Testament teaching. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. God gonna hold you accountable to you for your children not coming to know Jesus, because you are supposed to tell your children, lead them to Christ. Okay? So I mentioned it numerous times, and I'm not going to do it now. I just give you the passage, Ezekiel 3, 18 to 21. That's why Paul say, woe to me. This is from the Old Testament teaching. Now, what if I'm not telling the whole truth? What if I change the truth? What if I change the gospel? If you change the gospel, you will be condemned. I don't care whether you are the angel, like angel is fallen angel. Only the fallen angel will change the gospel. It's a holy angel, they won't change the gospel. The word of the Lord came to the angel will tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Only the fallen angel will tell the half truth. And also some preacher, they tell the half truth. Why? Because they want to save his own life. According to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, anyone who wants to come after me has to deny himself, deny his life, and follow me and carry the cross. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, whoever wants to save his own life by just telling the half truth so that he won't be stoned, he will lose his life. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. I want you to write that down. If you tell the half-truth, I want you to know the consequences. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. I see that a lot of preachers, they only tell the half-truth, but they don't know the consequences. And when I look at them, I say chapter 9 verse 2, I have great sorrow for this fellow. I have unceasing anguish in my heart for his action. Why? Because he will be punished. I want you to write down Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. You change the gospel, you'll be in deep trouble. Verse 7. The different gospel is not really a gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again. Why say again? Because it is so important. You don't tell the half truth. You tell the whole truth. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. By the way, I want you to write that down. Eternally condemned. Mention it twice. I want you to write that down. Right beside verse 8 and right beside verse 9. eternally condemned. You write down 1 Corinthians 14, 37 to 38. What Paul is writing is God's word. It's the Lord's command. Don't ever think he's, oh, that is his own opinion. You know, he may be very angry at that time when he said that. No, he wasn't angry. He's telling you the Lord's command. You don't change the gospel. You don't just tell the half truth. You tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I tell you, take a look at the last chapter of the last book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18. I warn everyone who hear the word of the prophecy of this book of Revelation. If anyone add anything to them, God will add to him the plague described in this book. Verse 19. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. If God take away your share in the tree of life, that means you don't have eternal life. Take away your share in the holy city, that means you go to hell, you cannot enter into the holy city. This is a serious matter. You know what? A lot of people, they don't read the Bible. They just hear. They think, I can pick and choose and hear what I like to hear. And then when I say, I can pick and choose what I like to say, you are in deep trouble. Memorize what I memorize. Then you know how to fear God. People try to be smart. Say, wow, I don't need to follow Jesus. I don't need to follow Paul. I'm wiser than these two persons. And Proverbs say, my son, lean not on your own understanding. Fear the Lord, my son. Don't ever think you are smarter than Jesus and smarter than Paul. And that is the way. There's no other way. Okay? Now, I go back. Chapter 9, verse 1 again. I speak the truth in Christ. I speak the truth in love. What does it mean by I speak the truth in Christ? That means I'm speaking the truth because Jesus Christ delivered that truth to me. So that's why I'm speaking the truth in Christ. Just like the Old Testament say, the word of the Lord came to me. When the word of the Lord came to me, I just tell you, I'm just a messenger. I'm just a channel. Through me, you hear the word of God. The Bible say, the word of the Lord is flawless. You add anything to it, you delete anything to it, it is not flawless. You don't add to it. Because the word of God has been purified 7 times, just like silver has been purified in a furnace of clay. You don't add to it. Turn to it. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. You don't add anything to it. Just tell the truth in Christ. Whatever Jesus Christ tell you, you just tell the truth. After you've done your job, you pray to God, God, whatever you have said to me, I said it. And I've done my part. Now it is you. You have to do your part. And God will do it. if that person was chosen by God at the right timing, and God will do something in his life. And then God, and then Paul say, I am not lying. Why he saying he's not lying? He was a preacher. He is a preacher now. He know that a lot of people are lying because he know what he's saying. Okay? A lot of people are lying. So he say that, I am not lying. In the Bible, Paul say that why people are lying? People lying for their own good. Some people lie because they don't want to suffer pain. That's why they lie. Just like Peter, when people ask him, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? He said, I don't know Jesus Christ. He's lying, right? He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Okay? So we know that. We have to know that. We have to realize that. God never lies, but people always lie. For his own benefit, not for your own benefit. He tell you something that you like to hear, he want to trap you, man. He trap you, then you trap him. And that's exactly what is happening. He deceived you, and you deceive him. Take a look at what Paul's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful way. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When he preach, make sure when you preach with a clear conscience. You can lie to other people, but you cannot lie to yourself, to your own conscience. That's why Paul say, I am not lying. My conscience confirm that I am not lying. My conscience confirm it in the Holy Spirit. That means his conscience is totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what I say? What's the difference between in Christ Jesus and Christ in you? In Christ Jesus is deeper because Christ in you first, and then you make a decision you want to be in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus means you do not follow your flesh. You follow the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus means you are not controlled by your sinful nature, but you are controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is empower you and give you courage and give you strength to do that. Brother and sister, eventually, if we are a preacher, if whatever you preach, we are accountable to God. God going to say, the thing that I want you to say, did you say it? Or did you sugarcoating it? Okay? Are you trying to deceive people? Brother and sister, if you do not pass through your own conscience, you cannot pass before God. I want you to write beside before conscience. I want you to take a look at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 21. Dear friend, if our heart do not condemn us, our heart will condemn you, because if your own conscience condemn you. Dear friends, if our heart do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from God anything we ask, because we obey his command and do what pleases him. First of all, you have to pass your own heart, pass your own conscience. If you don't pass it, you're going to fail before God definitely. For sure. Alright? Now go back. Paul say that I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirm it in the Holy Spirit. I was totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. He gave me power to deliver. He encouraged me not to be afraid. And He watched over me. That's exactly Psalm 121. He watched over me going. He watched over me coming. He watched over me all the days of my life because I lean on Him. You've done your part, then you can claim the promise in Psalm 121. In verse 2, why would Paul say, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart? The moment he knows the truth, nothing but the truth, and then he realized, he looked around, he found out a lot of preachers are not preaching the truth, are lying to the audience, and yet a lot of people, they buy into the deception. That's why he was full sorrow in his heart. He feel unceasing anguish in his own heart. And on top of that, right beside, Romans chapter 9, verse 2, I have great sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart. You write down a few things. Number one, why Paul is sorrow? Because if you're not telling the truth, you're telling to the half truth, then people will suffer. Because he thought, I believe in Jesus already. In fact, he hasn't believed in Jesus yet. They will suffer. When people suffer pain, he should turn around. If he didn't turn around, he probably will die. Number two. Right before he died, if he did not confess his sin, number three, then he go to hell. That's why you write that down, 9:2. What's the reason why Paul say that? I'm sorry, 9:3. 9:2. That's why Paul saying that, I have great sorrow, I have unceasing anguish in my heart. Because Paul loved his audience. Just like you as a father, you as a mother, preaching to your children, you don't want your children to go to hell. But he won't go to hell right away. He will suffer pain. Okay? In his job, he will suffer. In his health, he will suffer. In all he's doing, it's not prosperous and successful. He will suffer. Definitely he will suffer if he was chosen by God. And then he will die. But right before he died, God gave him opportunity to repent. Unfortunately, because he only heard the half truth. Who are they? They're Judah. Judas killed himself. King Saul. When he get hurt in the battlefield, you know what did he say to the soldier, the one who carried his sword? Kill me. I don't want to be killed by the uncircumcised people. The guy is so afraid, how can I kill the anointed? David did that. David, they don't even touch you. How dare I am, okay, that to kill you. And then he found out that his sword bearer did not kill him. He killed himself. Brother and sister, listen to me. You hear the hard truth? The end result is, when you are so desperate, you can kill yourself. But if you know the truth, you write down, Luke chapter 23. One of the criminals, before he died, he still hung on the cross, he still suffer pain. He has pain, severe suffering. But right before he died, he say, he witnessed for Jesus. He preached the truth. And he asked Jesus, remember me when your kingdom come. And the Lord say, today, you are with me in paradise. Brother and sister, there's a difference to the person who know the truth and the person who doesn't know the truth. Right before he died, he confessed his sin. And then that guy, he go to heaven. You write down 23, 42 to 43. Paul say that I have great sorrow seeing the one that I love suffer. I have great sorrow seeing someone dying like this. I have great sorrow for seeing his friend, his own race, his own brother, his own people to go to hell. He has great sorrow of that. But you may not understand what he's trying to say because you are not him. But if I put it in the context, say that if you find out your children, your child, don't know the truth at the end, and he go to hell, I think you say, I have great sorrow. I have unceasing anguish in my heart to seeing my child to go to hell. Am I right? If you don't know how to preach the gospel to your friend, that means you don't even know how to preach the gospel to your own kinsmen, to your own parents. You better repent. Okay? Eventually, God will let you see something you could regret. Don't just devote 100% of your energy just to make money. Devote energy in understanding God's truth. Know His will, just like Ephesians chapter 5 saying, do not be the foolish man not to know God's will. Romans chapter 9, verse 3. The reason why, in verse 2, the reason why Paul has great sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart, because he see the end result of the recipient of the gospel. They turn down the gospel, they know the end result. The reason why Paul has great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart because he loved them. So that's why I say, speak the truth in love. If you don't have love, you won't do it. If you truly do it, you feel sorry for them. Because they don't see that, you see it. You know that what's the end result. You warn them, but they don't listen. You have great sorrow. Now, verse 3, Paul say that, for I could wish that I myself were cursed. Were cursed mean were condemned. Hey, brother and sister, remember that. Chapter 1, Galatians, verse 8 to 9, Paul say that if you change the gospel, I don't care who you are, you will be eternally condemned, right? He wasn't changing the gospel. He telling the truth. He willing to be cursed. He willing to be condemned because he loved them. You don't love that person, you get persecution from him, you're going to say, forget it. Next time, I'm not going to tell him anything. All of a sudden, then you forget what 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16-17 say, woe to me, you don't preach the gospel. Most of the time, people don't preach the gospel is because they are ignorant of God's word. They don't know the consequences himself. You know the consequences, you won't do it. When I found out people go to the church, don't even bring the Bible, at home they don't even study, I have great sorrow for him. Because he doesn't know what he believes. because the testing hasn't come. When the testing comes, they will fall. I guarantee you they will fall because they are on the sinking sand, they are not on the solid ground. The testing hasn't come, it's okay. Same as, you know, in September, everybody attending the class is happy, you know. By the time December, they have great pain because they found out starting September, October, November and December, they don't even open up the textbook. They're fooling around, have beer and all this, have party. And by the time exam time comes, he's going to flunk. The first year, he's going to flunk out. He's going to flunk out. A lot of people flunk out because of that. They're ignorant. They thought, in high school, I'm so good. At university, I will be good to go to. You compare with all these people, they don't want to study in high school, you are good. Compared with all those people who are willing to study, you are no good. Prepare yourself for the storm to come. The storm will definitely come. According to Matthew chapter 7. I don't care whether you build your house on the solid ground or you build your house on the sinking sand. The storm will come. But when the storm comes, you fall away from your faith, you lost your salvation, you have great destruction, that means you believe the half truth. You are not believing the whole truth. The storm will come, brother and sister. Believe in the word of the Lord. The storm will come. We just be wise, prepare ourselves ahead of the time, so that when the storm comes, we still can stand firm. The reason why Paul said that, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his own heart, because he see his fellow men will fall. So that's why he said, I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brother. Who is my brother? It's those of my own race. Who is my brother? Is the people of Israel. When he say that, I wish I myself were cursed. He wish he were cursed, but he won't be cursed. He said, Pastor John, how do you know? Because chapter 9, before chapter 9 is chapter 8. You know what did he say? You write down chapter 8, 35, all the way to 39. I read that to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sore? You know what? If you don't preach the gospel, you don't even know what it means. By trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sore. You don't even know that. As it is written, for your sake, Paul say that, we preachers face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But I'm not afraid of that. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Because Paul knows that God loves him. Jesus Christ loves him too. He's doing God's work. In the midst of suffering and affliction, God will deliver him. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If nobody, nothing can, even persecution, affliction, people give you a bad name, none of this can separate you from the love of Christ, from the love of God, then you won't be eternally condemned. You won't be eternally cursed. No way. He said, he know by doing this, I will suffer, but it's okay. I get great I get great reward, man. 18. If I compare the future glory that God revealed to me to the present suffering, it's not worth comparing. 18. I consider our present suffering. You write that down, that I just read it to you. Right beside 8:18, you write down 8:35, all the way to 39. I consider our present suffering, which is 8:35 to 39. I consider our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. If you don't know that you do God's word, you will be rewarded, richly rewarded. You won't do it. You will keep on doing your own things. And eventually, you will regret. So verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brother, for the sake of those of my own race, for the sake of the people of Israel. Brother and sister, I say it one more time, that is love. If you don't have this kind of love, you may do it once, you may do it twice, you won't keep on doing it. You say, enough is enough, I give up. But if it's your own child, you won't give up, because that's your own child. Why would you give up on your own child? Are you kidding me? You give it on your own child, you are worthless. Brother and sister, listen to me. Do you know why Jesus said, when you preach the gospel, you have to preach the gospel starting from Jerusalem? That means starting from your own household, and then to the end of the world. If you preach the gospel to your own children, the children give you some ugly face, argue with you, you say, that's enough, you know, I don't like your face. I'm not going to do it anymore. You know what I mean? Then how will you do to your neighbor? How will you do to your friend? You don't even love your children. How can you love your neighbor? Don't kid myself. If you want to do God ministry, start with your own household first. You got that right? Go through that hardship first. From your own kinsmen, from your own race, from your own people, from your own children, it's okay, right? Then later on, you get the reward. You see the very presence of the Lord. You get the blessing. You say, okay, to go through that. Am I right? Keep going. I intended to go detail in in verse 4 all the way to verse 5. There are 8 blessings. There are 8 blessings. You write that down? Why would he willing to be a curse and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brother, for the sake of those of my own race, for the sake of the people of Israel? Because theirs is the adoption of a son. The adoption as son is the first blessing to the people of Israel. Number 2, theirs is the divine glory. The people of Israel will receive divine glory. In other words, your labor in Christ Jesus will not be in vain, because the recipient not only receives salvation, redemption of his own body, later on, the one you try to save, he will receive divine glory. And then, third blessing, the covenants are theirs. What kind of covenants? You write down 3. Number 1 is before Old Testament. That is recorded in Genesis 12 all the way to 22. That's before the Old Testament. In Abraham time, Old Testament come through Moses. Abraham is before Moses. So this covenant that God made with Abraham is before the Old Testament. Number two is the law of Moses and the prophet. That's the Old Testament covenant. Number three is New Covenant, New Testament. This one is the best. Because Abraham received that covenant before the law by God's promise. God said, because you believe in me, I bless you. As far as blessing is concerned, you get the greatest blessing. And God said, I not only bless you, I will bless your offspring. Because of this blessing, we have New Testament. So the covenant belongs to them. But as far as the Gentile, we don't even have that. Right beside the covenant, I want you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. What did the Bible say? Verse 12. Remember that at that time, that means before you come to know Jesus, you were separate from Christ. You are excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigner to the covenants of the promise. You are foreigner to the covenant of the promises. You know nothing about the promises. They have that, you don't have it. And then what else did he say? And at that time, you have no hope. You are without hope. Why? Because you're without God in this world. I say before you come to know Jesus. Or after you come to know Christ, that's a different story. Okay? In other words, anyone who knows the covenant, who knows God's blessing. You don't know the covenant, you don't read the Bible, you have no blessing. Paul said that I have great sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart because he found out his people, they receive the covenant, they receive God's word, but they don't study it. They just listen what other people say. And other people tell you half truth. And you buy into that deception. And you think Paul is no good. All the other pastor is good. Woe to you, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. You say sweet is bitter. You say bitter is sweet. You say light is darkness. Darkness is light. You cannot distinguish what is good and what is bad. Woe to you. I don't think I can explain to that 9-1. I would like to go in detail next week. They don't have the covenant, and then they don't have the law. The receiving of the law. God did not give the law to Gentile at that time, only give the Jewish people. Temple worship. Jewish people know how to worship God in the temple. We don't. When we believe in Jesus, the temple has already been destroyed. It wasn't belongs to us, it belongs to the Israelites. And the promises. At that time, we don't have promises. Most of the Chinese Christians, they don't read Old Testament. They know nothing about the promise before the Old Testament. They only receive God's word through the preacher. They don't receive God's word directly from reading the Bible. And finally, what is theirs? The number 7-1, there are the patriarchs in verse 5. Number 8 blessing, Christ, according to the Christ human ancestry. Christ come from them. Our Heavenly Father, you help your servant when he explained God's word, explain it clearly so that they understand, arouse their interest, They go home and study it to check it out to see whether what they were heard is exactly from the scripture and help them not just be the hearer of God's word, help them to be the doer of God's word and study. And we don't want to be without hope, without God. We don't want to be a foreigner to the covenants of the promises. We want to know the covenant, we want to know the promises, so that we be truly blessed by you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.